And we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I do pray you'd help us to see that the Bible reveals what often is going on behind the scenes that often we're sheltered from, which I'm thankful to. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand the chronology of the Bible and then how we can apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Moses is the man that God used to typify the Old Testament, or the law. Probably should say the law. Okay, and then Elijah was the main one God used for the prophets. So the law and the prophets, those are the last two men that are mentioned in Malachi. Okay, and then Joshua, remember, is the equivalent of Jesus, meaning his name means Jesus. So in the New Testament, there's a couple occasions where it's referring to Joshua, but because the translators were honest, they translated that Jesus. And I showed that last week in Acts 7:45 and Hebrews 4:8. And Acts 7:45 is the verse that I look at. If somebody has a Bible and it may be on the copyright page, it says King James. So I'll look at Acts 7:45 to make sure by the word Jesus, because some of them will change that and still put King James on the copyright page, which I believe is dishonest. Okay, and what Moses and the law could not do in the first five books of the Bible, Joshua did in the sixth book of the Bible. Joshua is the first book named after a man. And so now he's getting ready to get the people to cross the Jordan River, to go into the land of Canaan, and they're crossing this river without a bridge. So it's going to be a miniature Red Sea crossing. And so Joshua's preparing the people. Okay, there were 2.5 tribes as they started getting close to the land of Canaan, 2.5 of tribes there, said, hey, we'd like to live over here on this side of the Jordan. And so Joshua's going to tell them, okay, yeah, that wasn't the perfect will of God, but okay, you could stay there, but you do have to cross over and then help your brethren in the battles. So in verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you. A lot of times I've heard people say victuals, but the Kentucky way, that's vittles. That's, you know, Beverly Hillbillies, that's the vittles. And that's what it is. King James only word. New Bibles take it out. I don't know what they put in its place. He says, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. And somebody probably thought, how are we doing that? No bridges. To go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And then here's them, the 2.5 tribes. And to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Okay, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which the Lord, Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land, your wives, your little ones, your cattle, shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest. Okay, rest is, will be a common term in Hebrews, and that is typifying the millennial rest. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto your land of your possession and feel guilty about it. That's if it's a liberal agenda. No, he says enjoy it. Enjoy it. Okay, he says the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Where in the church time period, if you're given wealth, if you have wealth, you obtained wealth, he says, enjoy it. Okay, these folks today thinking just because you're white, you ought to feel guilty. Just because our country had slaves, you ought to feel guilty. I don't feel guilty at all about it. Okay, and no reason to. And it's funny, in Seattle, you know, they were screaming and crying about the police officers, but you're not going to get away from a hierarchy. Now the hierarchy is some gang rapper out there with an AK-47 on his shoulder, and they're going around pillaging and stealing and raping people in that area. And I saw one clip where somebody got shot, and there's the two paramedics, and they're not going in there. And they're screaming at him, why don't you go in there? Why don't you go in there? Because I probably won't come out. Well, you fix them if you don't want us. See how that works out. So it's just, this Marxism is just, if these people want to experience it, go someplace where it's at. So he says, enjoy it. Okay, and that's a blessing from God, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side, Jordan, toward the sun rising. So they're going to go in and conquer this land, and then they're going to scream and everything. But if you're dealing with these people that are screaming about equality, you're not dealing with somebody who's logical. It's all emotional. In the Bible, who's the first nation that enslaved people? Egypt. Have they paid reparations to the Jews? No. Do the Jews want it? No. Why should they? Okay, what's called segregation or prejudice, where's that located in the Bible? You'll find it in Genesis 43:32, where the Egyptians refused to sit by the Hebrews. Oh, man, that's so racist. You know, and the Bible, isn't the Bible amazing? It's got the answers. But you're dealing with a bunch of narcissists, and you cannot logically reason with these people. So in verse 16, then he says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. Good. Okay, now we got a verbal agreement. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. That's a general Old Testament statement. And whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commanded him, he shall be put to death. Oh boy. No grace there. Only be strong and of a good courage. So that's the fourth time that's mentioned in this chapter. So now at the next start, now we're going to see God's grace with a lady, with a woman here, Rahab. And what we're going to see is if we think this thing through, the Bible is giving the behind-the-scenes things of what goes on in politics. Okay, and then when these scandals manifest themselves, it's so shocking. If you believe the Bible, this goes on all the time. The few that get caught or exposed, multiplied more, it goes on continually. So you have Rahab, the harlot, who was known by the king of Jericho. And if you go to the first occurrence of somebody setting some type of a city up, in Genesis 19 is Sodom. The first man to build a city, okay, was Cain, first guy to build a city. Okay, and then Isaiah said, woe unto them that lay house to house, and you have no room to seek after God. Now, if God calls a person to the city, okay, that's different. But as far as the society goes, the Lord likes us to have some elbow room. Spread out, you know, have some yard or some type. Okay, and so in Joshua 2, there's two spies sent in. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men that spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Now, Jericho's a city. Today, it is under Muslim territory. Jericho is where Walid Shuabat grew up. Do you remember Walid's testimony in that? He grew up in Jericho, where they sang songs about Jews being pigs and everything. And so this is a Muslim-dominated territory today in Israel. So it's not a large landmass. Okay, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Why would you go there? Okay, now, historians tell us that the walls of Jericho did fall down. The archaeology evidence shows it. They also say there's a small section of the wall that was not destroyed. And if we would believe the scriptures, that would have been Rahab's apartment, or whatever you want to call it, because she lived in the wall. Okay, and then they threw out, and then they was head hanging over the side of the wall, the scarlet thread from her window, so that they knew, and that's where we get the scarlet sin or the red light district. The Bible is the standard. It's an amazing thing. Okay, it doesn't matter if these, I doubt these people get up, oh, let's obey the Bible. And, you know, I don't think that's their agenda. And we don't understand the influence that the Bible has on society throughout the world, especially in our culture, many of our common sayings. Okay, so they go to the house, Rahab, lodged there. So she's hiding them. And was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came what men in hither tonight of the of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab. So she is well known, her profession is well known amongst the political figureheads. And they evidently had spies watching everything. Okay, and so then they go to her, saying, bring forth the men that are come into thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. Okay, now, Rahab has an option here. She could tell the truth, turn the men over to them, and they would probably kill them. She could lie, okay, and protect these men. And she chose, because it's a wartime situation, she chose to lie, because war is the art of deception. So she chose to lie to protect two Hebrew men over 500,000 Jericho perverts. Okay, and God blessed her for it. So that's, you know, either way she goes, okay, if she would tell the truth, in essence, she'd be part of the death of these two men. And if she lies, then she's part of the judgment of God upon this city. And Israel's coming in. And so she made the good choice. And there are times it makes a difficult decisions a person has to make. Now, fortunately, our country, in our lifetime, in most everybody's lifetime here, we've never experienced war on our country. That's an amazing thing. Okay, and so, but if somebody does, like in the Soviet Union, when back in the 70s, 80s, they were arresting Baptist preachers right and left, and then they would try to play on the mind of the wife, you know, oh, gave up his faith, blah, blah, blah. You can't believe a word they say. Not a word they say. War is the art of deception. So if that would happen, you know, to our country, then there's times you got to bald-faced lie to somebody. Because that's part of war, depending on the situation. Now, if you look at the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul knew how to handle those things. When he got in the middle of some legal wrangling between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he just yelled into the air. He said, I'm a Pharisee, the son of the Pharisee, and the hope of the resurrection. I've been called into question. No, he wasn't. He wasn't called into question for that. He was called into question for allowing Gentiles to come into the Jewish temple. But that divided the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And right then the Pharisees, oh, he's one of us. And so you divide to conquer. And that's what's happened in our country. They're dividing us to conquer us. That's what they're doing. And, you know, I would dare say if we could get the research, George Soros is probably funding this. He's the one that funded the caravan, supposedly, the supposed caravan coming up. You know, so this guy is some evil character, that's for sure. So what did Rahab choose to do? Okay, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, okay, yeah, but I wist not whence they were. So that's a lie. She knows where they're at. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went out or went, I wot not. Now that's true. You don't know where they're going. Whether men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly. She's just saying that's kind of like, you know, go ahead, try to find them. For ye shall overtake them. Reverse psychology. Go ahead. And she's playing like she's on their side. And she doesn't know what the outcome's going to be in this. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So she is protecting these men's lives. Verse 8, and before they were laid down, she came up upon them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Wow, this is quite a profession from this lady. A lot of people would say, well, somebody that profession's heathen, they're wicked and all that stuff. Yeah, I know the profession's wicked. But they have something that some people don't have. And to her, that was a fleshly choice, or it was a survival. Who knows? Not justifying it. But a lot of times the people like this in the world have some common sense and they have some faith. It's just that they've been beaten down by society. And God is looking in that heart. God can weed through all this and he's looking at that heart. And this lady says, I know. I know. What does she know? I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that. And that your terrors fall upon that. She knew that from the spirit of her community. People were deathly afraid. And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She knew that again because she could see the fear in the people of Jericho. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. So that had spread amongst all those pagan cultures. They heard about that, and they had a sneaky suspicion he's going to do the same for that Jordan River. And when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. See, news travels fast. And they did not have CNN and MSNBC and all those other cockroach industries. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. And that's part of the Spirit of God, where God can bring a fear amongst these people because these people were trespassing on God's property. Now, people today will say, well, they came in and blah, blah, blah. And that's what they say about Americans, where Americans, the colonists, came in and they just started killing people right now. I know Christopher Columbus did. I know some of the history about him down there and where he came in did. Okay, but Roger Williams was encouraging those colonists that if you want the land, the possessors of the land are the Indians, and if you want some land, you need to befriend them and you need to pay them for the land. And that's why the Calvinists of Massachusetts ran him out. They were persecuting Roger Williams. He had two things that they didn't like. One is soul liberty, and a Calvinist doesn't like that idea, where you have the freedom of choice. And then the other idea is what Roger Williams was, that you need to pay the Indians for the land because they have the possession of that land. And the Indians were friendly towards Roger Williams because of that viewpoint. And so a lot of the history has been askew of our country. Here with Israel, they were coming in because that land belonged to God. And since it belonged to God, they were trespassing. And in other words, the devil always has an infatuation with the place of God. And so the devil had these people there because he was infiltrating God's land. And he has still done that today. Israel today is infiltrated with real Jews and fake Jews. And it's been infiltrated by paganism. And when the Lord comes back, he's going to fix all that. So the same thing is going on here. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So she's going to become what is known to be a Jewish proselyte. That's when a Gentile adopts the Jewish faith, and then the Jewish people become their priest or go-between between that individual and God. Verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, and ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. So now she's cutting a deal, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. So it depends how big her house or apartment was. Can you imagine them packed in there? Dad, mom, brother, sister's family, brothers. And so that's the deal. The men answered her, our life for your lives, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, so they got their, this is a contract. A contract has, you know, two parties. Okay, where they're making agreement, they have a meeting of the minds, they have the contract is in the four corners of the contract. Okay, and so they're meeting, this is a meeting of the minds. There's a quid pro quo. Okay, she saved their life, so they're going to in return save her life. So this is a full-fledged contract. That's how life is. That's how the Bible is. That's what God does. He made deals. And made agreements with Abraham, okay, made agreement with David, made agreement with Moses, Israel as a body. So you and I, we all do this. Most of our contracts are understood or verbal. Okay, so you walk into the grocery store, the contract is that you will walk in and not destroy property, and you will take items off the shelf, and then your quid pro quo is when you get to the counter, they want the money more than the items, you want the items more than the money. And when it's a valid contract, you both say, thank you. That's a valid contract. Okay, when you can't say, both parties can't say thank you, you know, like I go to the BMV, I have to make myself say thank you. Because I know some of the what's behind it. Okay, but still, so they're making an agreement. This is not written down. If the contract is usually within 1 year, it's not required to be written down. So most of our contracts are verbal, and so they're having a meeting of the minds, and there's a quid pro quo here. Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. So that's their deal. So they've got to make an agreement. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. So her apartment was on the outer edge of the wall. They said those walls were huge where you can drive a chariot across those things. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt among the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. So she had, notice, she had an escape plan. People like this are in a survival skill. They're in a survival mode. And they recognize that if things go south, you know, in a country, then, okay, we'll go to this location and hide and hang around there for 3 days. And then everybody, everything's died down, and then we can go to where we need to go. So this is not a bad thing. People in our country, and it's, you know, to God's credit, because of the general safety, like in the countries, in the small towns and in the countries, that sometimes we get too relaxed. And if you go up to the mall, if you're not alert to what's going on, then you could become a victim of somebody who's ready to prey on somebody. So she is in survival mode. That's the way this woman lived. And so she told the guys what to do. In verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. So it's got, you know, thread, we're thinking very, very small, but it's got to be something that's visible. In the window, so there's right there the origination of the red light district. And the Bible sets the standard. Which thou didst let us down by, so obvious it's more than a thread. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. So they got to stay in this house. I wonder how long they stayed in that house. Well, once they saw him marching around, it's like, we better hold up here, you know, and march around the next day and the next day and the next day. And they're probably just saying, boys, we're about ready, we're ready. And it came to pass that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. So there's the deal. That's the agreement. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. Okay? Quit. Short part of acquittal. It's a legal term. Means to be set free or released. A quit claim deed. So the Bible has these terms located in there. And there it is. Quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto thy word, so be it. So now there's the agreement. This is a valid contract. They got two or more parties. They've got a meeting of the minds. They've got the stipulations in the contract. And they call this four corners of the contract because they kind of take a page in this corner and this corner, even though it could be multiple pages. And then there's a quid pro quo, an agreement. So this is a valid contract. They're going to keep the contract. And she sent them away, and they departed. She bound the scarlet line in the window. Didn't waste any time, did she? Made sure. And I'm sure if some Jericho guy came out of the, hey, what's that cord hanging from you? Oh, it's a pretty decoration I like. You know, that's pretty neat. I like that, you know, and brings back memories in the past. And so, even though the past was 3 days ago, and, you know, but she made sure it was up there. And that's the deal. And they went and came into the mountain, abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. So they kept their deal for their safety, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So she knew what she was talking about. She knew how to escape. Verse 23, so the two men returned and descended from the mountain, passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. Poor guy, didn't he have any parents, the son of Nun. So N-O-O-N, or N-some, whatever. That's noon. Okay, so it came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, 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 the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. Boy, they were thoroughly convinced. And when you get evidence like that, you're in the city. Everybody is scared to death. And then this lady allowed you to hide. And then you escaped and everything. And it's to them, these two guys, they were ready to go because they had the evidence. They had a testimony from God. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And that fainting, I tell you, that debilitates a person. And they can't do anything, and they just stand as a victim as they're being killed and everything. Now, in this case, the Lord's going to do the majority of the work. And then as you'll see, as you come through Joshua, you'll see that the very first victory, God does all the work, basically. They're just coming in, mopping up. And then as you go through Joshua, then you'll see you and I got to do the work with God. And that's God, part of God's plan to strengthen us. Okay, so that's chapter 2. We'll come on 3 next time. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray and ask that you'd help us to be faithful to your words. Thank you for the testimony. Even till to this day, when people read the Bible, think of Rahab, they think of the harlot. Rahab the harlot. But after that, Rahab became a Jewish proselyte and probably faithful to the Jewish faith. But yet that stigma stayed with her. And if you'd ask her about it, she'd probably said, yep, I understand that. But my God had grace on me. And then brag about God for a while. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.